I'm turning to Luke chapter 15 and verse 25 to 27. Luke 15, 25 to 27. Now the older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." Now, last gospel service, we spoke about the younger son, and we've all heard about the younger son, but today I thought it would be good to hear about this older son. His father said, "For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and he is found." And they began to be merry. Now, we know and we see that to understand this parable and grasp this parable, we need to look at verse 2. And verse 2, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees and the scribes and the religious people. But although they were religious people, they were considered outsiders. They formed the outside ring. They were hearing the gospel, but pride was in their hearts. And they were saying, "We are the chosen ones. We are the Jews. We don't need to listen to this preaching. It's nothing for us." And they were self-righteous. They were so close to the truth, but they were so far from the truth. And they did not receive. They said, "We are not sinners like these people. Look at these beggars pressing in to hear. They are guilty. They are heavy laden. They are lowly beggars trying to catch every word that this preacher is preaching." But friends, these were the ones in the inner circle. These were the ones that had heard of the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. These were the ones that had hope in his word. They wanted to hear and they wanted to be forgiven. They were the inner circle. Now, we see clearly two groups, the inner circle, the outer circle. And whenever, doesn't matter, whenever the gospel is preached, past, present, or future, these two groups are present. Even today, even now, as the gospel is being preached, there are two groups of people, the inner group, and those ones have spiritual hunger. Those ones have come to hear. Those ones have come to act upon what they hear. And they have eyes to see, and they can see there's a gospel feast set before them. And because they are hungry, they press near. They press close to hear. But there's the other group, the outside group. They are the self-righteous ones. They won't come to the table. They're not interested in the gospel feast is spread before them. How sad, how terrible, I can't even describe or find words to say how sad this is. And really, this is a picture of even people today, religious people, yet they are totally lost. Totally lost. That's a picture of people who go to church their whole life. They sit under the preaching their whole life, but They're never in the inner circle. They're only standing off at a distance, only standing there, fulfilling a duty, not listening. Yes, they know all the religious language. They even know how to pray in a prayer meeting. They even sing the hymns very loudly. And if you go on an outreach, they have no objection. They go with you. But friend, the Holy Ghost has not touched their heart. They are empty. They are dry. They possess no spiritual graces in their life. Their hearts are cold. Their hearts are hard. So this parable that we are looking at in the older son is addressing the religious people, the ones in the outer ring. So many of these outer ring people, they are astonished at the words. They love the word of life, but they never converted. Never. We heard this morning, in today's morning preaching, there was a certain high-ranking man in England. His name was Lord Chesterfield. He came to the meeting to listen to the famous evangelist George Whitefield. He loved George Whitefield's preaching, but he was in the outer circle. He never responded. He never truly heard with his inner ear. His heart was not touched. He came unsaved. And he came unconverted, and he left unconverted. How sad. Many here, many people hear bright and clear teaching and preaching for a lifetime. Every Sunday they hear it, year after year after year. And they're pretty convinced. Yes, if you talk to them, they say yes. That's convincing argument. I agree with that. They may be convinced, but they are never converted. Oh, how sad this is. How sad that they can, some are even afraid. Oh, I don't want to go to the hell that the preacher is speaking about. I better be careful. I don't want to go near that hell. But they fear, but they're never converted. Never converted. It's a sad, sad thing that they are never converted. No angel in heaven rejoices over their life. Just like the older brother, they are dead in their sins. They are lost. They are in the outer ring. The older son is in the outer circle, and he's very angry. He's very angry that the father showed mercy to his brother. He comes in from the field where he's been working, and he hears the music, and he sees the dancing. They would maybe dance in a circle going round and round. It was a ceremonial dance. It was not a disco. And he called the servants, this older son, called the servants, and he asked them, "What's going on? What do these things mean?" And they said to him, "Your brother has come home, and because he is safe now, your father has killed the fatted calf, but he was angry, and he would not go in." He would not go in, but the father doesn't exclude him. He shows compassion to him, and he pleads with him, and he begs him, he entreats him, "My son, come in, don't stay out." And you know that the older son is a picture. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, and this older son is a picture of the Pharisees and the scribes of the day, the Jewish leaders. Angry and critical because Jesus showed mercy to the tax collectors, to the sinners, and he ate with them, Matthew 9:11. And the Pharisees saw it, and they said to his disciples, Why does your teacher eat with sinners and tax collectors? Pharisaical spirit. Do you know why these stand afar off, these Pharisees, this older brother type people, why they don't come into the inner circle? Do you know why they criticize? Why they wanted to silence Jesus and even put him to death? I'll tell you, because he told them they were sinners and that they needed to be saved and born again and converted and have their sin washed away. He told them their sins need to be washed away. And this made them indignant and hateful and scornful. I read a story that happened many years ago in the city of London, in the great Metropolitan Tabernacle, when Charles Haddon Spurgeon was the preacher. And he preached salvation. And he was preaching a salvation message. And after the message, a dignified lady came up to him and said, "Pastor, why do you preach that we must be born again? I can't understand it, Pastor. If you want to preach that message, why don't you take that message to the street, to the drunkards, to the thieves, to the prostitutes? But Pastor, we are in the church. We are respectable people. Why do you preach this message?" And Charles Spurgeon answered the woman and said, "Lady, I'll tell you why I speak this message. Because you must be born again." And this is the reason the respectable people get angry, because you tell them they are not Christians, because you tell them they must be born again, and they hate you for it. But it's the truth. It's the truth. The older son has the same nature as the Pharisee. He's the same sinful, hateful person as the Pharisee. And in our parable here, the father has the same nature and spirit as our Lord and our Savior. The older son is angry that mercy is shown to his younger brother. But look how hard his heart is. Look, just look at his heart. I'm sure that he must have seen his father waking up in the morning, looking out. Is my son coming home? Maybe walking away from the house, scanning the horizon. Oh, where is my son? I wish he would come home. I wish he would come home. Maybe this older brother saw a tear in his father's eye. Yet, he saw this, and when his son came home and was reconciled and forgiven, and he saw that kindness and grace were shown to his brother, he had no feeling for his father. He didn't care for his father's feelings. He was selfish. All he wanted was, "Why have you killed this fatted calf for my brother? He didn't deserve it. He's a bad person. He wasted your money." But the older brother, he despised the grace of the father. The father would have showed him grace as well. Couldn't he see that? Didn't he see that the younger brother didn't deserve to be forgiven at all? Unworthy. Yet the father forgives him. Surely he could have seen that the father would forgive him as well. Surely he could have seen that, but he couldn't. He couldn't. He was blinded. Self-righteousness had blinded him. He thought he was already okay. He thought he had no need to be forgiven. He thought that no grace was needed to be shown to him. He thought that he deserved to be in the Father's house. He was so close. He was in the Father's house, but his heart was far away from the Father. His heart was hard. His heart was filled with bitterness. His heart didn't have a single care what the Father felt and what the Father wanted. All he wanted was what he wanted. Do you know that even today, thousands of years later, there are people in the church, people in the Father's house, their hearts are hard. Their hearts are full of worldliness. They hear the word over and over, but they're so near. They're so near, but they are so far. They are so far. Why? Why are they so far? Because they have not got a new heart. They have not got a heart of flesh. They have got a heart that is a heart of stone. It doesn't want to please the Father. It's a selfish heart. It only wants to please themselves. We are just the same as the older brother. Are we the same? Oh, how selfish that older brother was. The younger brother's sins were obvious. Obvious. How can I say that the older brother was not respectable? I can say it because his sins were hidden sins. But they were quickly exposed by his terrible reaction when the brother came home. He said to his father, "Lo, many years I've been serving you, Father, and I've never transgressed even one of your commandments at any time." How can anyone say that? How can anyone say, "I am without sin"? If we say we are without sin, we lie. And the truth is not in us. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The self-righteous are blinded. They don't think that they have sin. They say, "There's no sin in me. I'm not like this brother of mine who wasted the money on harlots." But friend, the Bible is clear. The Bible is very clear. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, what else about this older brother? Let me tell you about this older brother. He's caught up in, and he's totally absorbed in running his father's farm. He's caught up in servings, many, many servings, like Martha. Martha was distracted with much serving. She was so busy, she had no fellowship sitting at the feet of the master. Like Mary, no communion at the master's feet. Martha is an exact picture of this older brother. He was living in his father's house, but he had no fellowship with his father. He never sat at his father's feet and listened to his word. He had no fellowship, no fellowship. No. I think this shows by the way that he talked to his father. He's furious. He's so angry. He says, "Father, this son of yours," I'm not calling him my brother, he's not my brother, "this son of yours, he devoured your money with harlots." But we read nothing of this in the scriptures. It's just his version because he's so angry. There's nothing written. It says he devoured the money with righteous living. It doesn't say that he had harlots. But when you are angry, you say ugly words. You say critical words. You use the worst that you possibly can use. And this was the older brother, blaming. When you're angry, you always blame others. He was blaming his brother. And what was this doing? It was revealing the bitterness in his heart. The bitterness in his heart. His mouth was speaking of the abundance that was of sinfulness that was in his heart. Remember, there's always a root of anger. And generally, the root of anger is pride and self-righteousness and selfishness. How does this root begin? How does this root of anger and self-righteousness begin? It begins by not seeing our own sinfulness and unworthiness. And then we think, well, I'm better than that one. I'm not such a sinner like that one. I have a prideful attitude. And this is what the older brother was like. I'm better than my brother. He doesn't deserve to be forgiven. He doesn't deserve the fatted calf. It comes from a loveless heart, an empty heart, a hard heart, a heart that cannot rejoice when others are blessed and saved. This is the oldest son. It comes from a poor understanding of forgiveness. If he knew that salvation was only by grace, and that everything that we have we owe to God's mercy, there would be no room to boast. He wouldn't have complained when the father welcomed his brother home. Isn't it sad that the self-righteous doesn't want his father to be kind to the brother? Our Lord and our God, he gave us his life upon the cross that we may be forgiven. He died for us so that we don't have to die. And I think the older brother is one of the most miserable conditions that we could ever find. Someone who won't receive the grace of God. How sad this is. How terrible this is. Contrast and compare that bitter, hard-hearted older brother, even with a terrible sinner, even with a notorious sinner. Think of one of the notorious sinners in the Bible. Let's think of a bad one. Think of the sinful woman who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears. Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And they were angry, and they said, if he knew what manner of woman this was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. Well, yes, she may have done much wrong, much wrong. She was a sinful woman with an abundance of sin. Her sins were like scarlet. They were as red as crimson. But at least her heart was not hard like the elder brother. At least her heart was open and wanted to be forgiven. At least she came for help. But oh no, not the older brother. He refused to come in. There was no shame, there was no remorse with the older brother. But this sinful woman, she felt shame and she felt remorse. And she knew she was a sinful woman and she knew she needed forgiveness. But not the older brother. He is self-righteous. See the older brother, be not like this. Don't be like him. This son of yours who wasted your substance on harlots, why did you forgive him? He doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Uncaring, hard-hearted, even like Pharaoh of Egypt. We read in this Bible that a Pharaoh turned his heart hard against God, and he would not heed God's word. He would not let the people go. What a terrible result, having a stony heart, a hard heart, a rock, not a heart. Look what happened. Do you know what happened? But I'll remind you, Exodus 15, verse 4 and 5. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains are also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. They sank to the bottom like a stone. His stony heart caused him to sink to the very bottom of the sea. How terrible the hardness of heart is. It will pull you down into the very depths of hell. Oh, let us never be like Pharaoh. Let us never be like the older brother. The elder brother was angry and would not go in. He refused to share the father's joy. A selfish and a self-centered heart. The rejoicing was so great. So great. The music, the dancing, the lost son was found. The dead son was made alive. No wonder there was such gladness and joy. And he was dead and now he's alive. Joy should have filled the older son's heart, the older brother's heart. After all, even the angels in heaven were rejoicing. Not the self-righteous. Oh, no, they would not rejoice. They despised. They didn't rejoice. It's no small thing when a sinner is saved. This reveals that this son has no concern for his father, no care for his father. His duty, this elder son's duty, according to the customs of the time, his duty was to welcome the guests that were coming to the celebration. His duty was to be the MC at the celebration. But he shamed his father. He wouldn't go in. He wouldn't have anything to do with it. And the father pleaded with him. The father begged him, "My son, come in. My son." But he's selfish and he's dominated by self, only me. He's self-righteous. He's arrogant. He's boastful. He says, "I've always obeyed you. I've never transgressed your command at any time. And you never gave me anything, even a goat, to make merry with my friends. And now you kill the fatted calf for this son of yours." He's like a publican. You remember that publican? He stood in the temple and he prayed, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like that sinner yonder over there. I fast twice a week or I give tithes of all my possessions." But there was a man in the front. He beat his breast and he would not even look up to heaven. He said, "Forgive me, a sinner." Who went home justified? Who went home justified? Not that proud, arrogant publican. And this is a picture of what the older son was. Proud, arrogant, in the outside circle, lost. The younger brother was lost and now he's found. He was dead and now he's alive. It should have been the older brother, could have been involved, but the older brother receives nothing at all. Nothing at all. Pride and stubbornness of heart gets him nothing. Nothing. He was stubborn. What a terrible condition. When all that the father had was also for him. Now he has nothing. And as we draw to a close, we read the final two verses, verse 31 and 32. "And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. and was lost and is found. And friends, this verse provides a picture of exactly what we are without Christ. Of exactly what we are without Christ. The older son is entreated by the father to come in, to be a son. Come in, my son. Enjoy your sonship. But he refuses. He refuses. He's offered a place where he will be forever with the Father in the glorious light of his presence. But he refuses. Do you think that was a wise decision? Oh, how foolish, how sad. The older brother to refuse the God of grace who offers so much. We are just like that older brother. We refuse God who is offering us redemption, salvation, an inheritance forever, a place provided, an eternal home. And he says, my son, come in. And we say, no, I will not come in. He wants to give us eternal life. He wants to give us an eternal inheritance. It is right that we should be merry. He offers joy in his presence. But he will not come in. He says to himself, I have joy with my friends. I have joy in my worldly pursuits. But friends, the world can offer no joy. It's like drinking salt water. The more salt water you drink, the thirstier you get, the more you want. And the world can offer nothing that can satisfy. The Father says, come in, come in. There is joy in the presence of the Lord. And come in, and your empty heart will be filled. Your loneliness will be filled. There will be peace in your heart. There will be joy in your heart. He was lost, this younger son, but now he's found. But the older brother is never found. He stays out forever. There's no need to remain lost, friend. There's no need to remain. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died to offer eternal life. If we believe and we repent, that opens the way to receiving the things that the older brother lost. Come in. Come and receive. Open the way to eternal life and inheritance and joy forevermore, fellowship with God, a gospel feast, a celebration. Oh, repent of your sins. Believe the gospel. Say, yes, Father, I will come in. The parable closes with an appeal. A compassionate father begging the older brother to come in. And we close now with an appeal to trust Jesus Christ, to enter the Father's joy, to receive the gift of eternal life. Oh, see your need for salvation. Understand that if you say you have no sin, you lie and the truth is not in you. Understand you are in need of salvation. Call upon his name to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Believe the gospel and you shall be saved. But alas, how sad. We read the older brother is still outside. The parable ends abruptly. The parable ends suddenly with your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost, but he is found. But the older brother is still outside. Could this be your situation? Could this be you today? The Father has sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ from heaven to earth to die on the cross for you. Jesus Christ died so that you don't have to die. If you trust him, there's still time. There's still grace available. Trust him and you shall receive the gift of eternal life. It's not too late. It was too late. The older brother never entered. But if you still have breath, if you still have two ears to hear the glorious gospel and breath in your lungs to call on the name of Jesus, today you shall be saved. Today you shall be forgiven. Today you shall enter in and celebrate with great joy. The Holy Spirit is now tugging at your heart. Come in. Come in and stay not out. Amen.